西。
Very good. Lord, we are thankful that you are in charge of this meeting and all activities related to the truth of God and the church of God.
主，我们感谢您，您在我们今天这次聚会中掌权，也在所有关于神的真理的任何的活动中都掌权。
And our prayer is that by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, you will speak to each heart tonight.
主，我们的祈求是借着圣灵的能力，你今天晚上对我们每个人的心说话。
And our prayer is that you will give us grace to respond as we should to the wonderful teaching from your word.
主啊，我们也祈求您能够给我们回应的心啊，当我们听到这美好的真理的时候，让我们能够按照您所希望的那样去回应。
We pray, Lord, for each one who may be with us tonight.
主，我们为今天晚上可能来的每一个弟兄姐妹祷告。
Some may be new to the Bible and to the message of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will open their understanding and give them hearts to believe.
主啊，那其中可能有些人呢，对圣经还不熟，他们也可能是刚刚才听到过十字架的信息。主啊，祈求您能让他们相信。
And many of us, Lord, have been walking with the Savior for a long time. We need hearts to understand and then hearts to respond. Keep us, we pray, from just being hearers of the word and not doers.
主啊，我们有些人已经跟随你一段时间了，主啊，也求您让我们有这样的心能够去明白，也更有这样的心能够去回应，让我们不仅听到而且行道。
So we pray, Lord, that you will then bless each one tonight as we consider your truth.
主啊，当我们今天要学习您的真理的时候，求您祝福我们每一个人。
And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
我们现在这样的祷告是奉耶稣的名。Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Harold. We appreciate that very much.We're going to look at this evening, we're going to look at some further Bible study techniques or helps. And, but I want to just go back to last week where we put up on the screen an app for intensive Bible reading, whereby you can downloadsome Bible helps, like a concordance, encyclopedia, and commentary.
Eric, 我今天晚上会继续给大家讲一下一些圣经，研读圣经的一些技巧和一些其他的辅助的工具。但是开始的时候呢，我们还是要先，把这个上一次分享给大家这个屏幕再分享给大家，就是这是一个精读圣经的这个 app， 就是这个精读圣经这个 app 里面呢，包含我们上次提到的很多的工具，比如说索引，比如说这个词典，比如说地图，还有解经。如果上个星期没来或者来了没来得及扫描这个二维码的朋友，现在可以扫描了。
You will find these helps to be a good resource in your Bible study.
大家会发现这些工具呢都是很好的这个帮助你学习圣经的一些资源。
Now we won't take time to go over them in detail tonight, but the important thing to remind yourself is that not all the features of this app may be good.
我们要提醒大家的就是当然这些很多工具都是很有帮助的，但是不是这个app 就精读圣经这个 app 里面所有的东西都是好的。
There is a lot of different ideas out in the world, and some of these helps may not be as good as others.
因为其中有一些东西呢，可能包含一些 世人的这个世界里来的观点，然后有些东西有些这里面的工具是好的，有些呢不那么好。
We have recommended a couple of very good ones, as far as an encyclopedia of the Bible, the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible is a good source of Bible knowledge.
那我们也推荐了这个 app 其中里面包含的一些好的工具，比如说这里面包含的那个圣经百科全书是贝克出版社出版的那本就很好，就很值得信赖。
And then the Believer's Bible Commentary by William MacDonald is probably the best and most accurate commentary that we have on the Bible.
另外我们推荐就是在这个app 里面可以下载这个马庞纳的解经，这个是我们可以推荐的，可能是最准确最好的一个解经了。
That commentary is a very faithful commentary, faithful to the Word of God, faithful to Christ, and faithful to the brethren as well.
那马唐纳的这个弟兄写的这个解经呢，是严格的信实于神的话，信实于基督，也信实于我所有的弟兄姐妹们。
So I hope you'll make use of some of these studies.In your own private study of the Word of God.
那我希望你在个人读经的时候能够使用到这些工具。
Now tonight, what I'd like to do is to look into context. The context of the Scriptures.
那我今天晚上要重点讲的呢，就是这个上下文，就是一句经文的上下文。
Now the Bible, it's not just a collection of verses randomly thrown together.
圣经呢不是一堆这个不同的经文随机组合在一起的这样一本书。
Verses relate to other verses around them.
某一节经文呢，它是和它周围的上上下下这些经文都是相互联系的。
And every verse that you read is related to a passage or a topic in the Bible.
你读的任何一节经文呢，都是跟一段话、一个主题、一个话题，在圣经里这样的话题相关的。
If you take a verse out of its context, you can get some very strange ideas and strange teachings from it.
如果你把一节经文从它的上下文抽离出来的话，你可能会得出一些非常奇怪的一个解释。
And often bad doctrine is the source of bad doctrine often is because of verses that have been taken completely out of context and misapplied.
那通常呢那些坏的错误的这个教义呢，都是源自于把一节经文断章取义的从它的上下文中取出来，然后错误的应用。
When the Lord Jesus was tempted by the devil attempted to take scripture out of its context.
当主在旷野被魔鬼试探的时候呢，魔鬼就是把经文从上下文中拿出来试探主的。
Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel.
我们现在翻到马太福音。
And there in chapter 4 and verse 5.
马太福音的四章五节。
We read, Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple.And said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone.
五节和六节，魔鬼就带他进了圣城，叫他站在殿顶上。 顶原文作翅，对他说，你若是神的儿子，可以跳下去，因为经上记着说，主要为你吩咐他的使者，用手托着你，免得你的脚碰在石头上。
Now the devil, he quoted scripture accurately.
当然这个魔鬼引用的这句经文呢，是准确的引用了原文。
But he failed to give the whole context of this passage, of these verses.
但是他没有把这个经文所在的整个上下文讲出来。
Turn to Psalm chapter 91.
我们翻到诗篇的91篇。
Psalm chapter 91, and here the devil is quoting these two verses, Psalm 91 verses 11 and 12.
那魔鬼引用的这一段经文呢，就是出自诗篇91篇的11节和12节。
And it says, For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways.In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.
十一节、十二节，因他要为你吩咐他的使者，在你行的一切道路上保护你。他们要用手托着你，免得你的脚碰在石头上。
Now, when we read carefully, that sounds very, very similar, those two readings.
我们如果去就这样读的话，发现这两句话呢，是几乎是一模一样的。
Except he leaves out a part of one of the verses which removes the context.
但是呢他却就故意遗漏了一点东西，而且是把它就从上下文里面抽出来的。
The context is that God will preserve the as it's applied to the Lord Jesus or it's applied to you and I.If we are in the will of God, he will preserve us. It says there in verse 11, to keep you in all your ways.
那他遗漏的这个东西是什么呢？就是这两节经文的上下文是说，若我们行在主的旨意上的时候，旨意当中的时候呢，主会供应我们一切所需的，也会保护我们。就是十一节说的，在你所行的一切道路上。
So God doesn't promise us.That he will give his angels charge over us, and we can do anything we want.
那神这里并没有应许说，不管我们做什么，我们想做什么，那个天使都会保护我们。
He says he'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. If you're in the will of God, the angels will preserve you and keep you.
那他的意思是说呢，当你在行在神的旨意当中的时候，你走在一切的道路上，天使都会保护你，他的使者都会保护你。
You can take a verse out of context, you can take a chapter right out of context, or you can even take a whole book out of its context and make it say something that it doesn't mean.
你可以把一节经文从上下文中取出来，你也可以把一章从上下文中摘出来，你甚至可以把整个一卷书从这个整本圣经的上下文中取出来，那就会得出完全不同的意思了。
So we're going to look at some more examples in the scripture of verses that are sometimes taken right out of context.
那我们现在再举一些例子啊，就是看有些经文。直接把它从这个上下文中断章取义出来以后会是怎么样的。
And we're going to start off looking at immediate context. As you're reading your Bible, watch very carefully the verses before and the verses following. What is the context that verse is in?
所以我们先说这个紧密的上下文了，就是紧密上下文，就是当你读一节经文的时候，你一定要仔细看它前面一节经文说的是什么，后面一节经文说的是什么。
In other words, as you read the scriptures, read them slowly and prayerfully, and follow the thought flow from one verse to another, and it will greatly expound or explain those verses, each verse.
也就是说我们读经的时候要慢一点，而且一边读一边祷告，然后要顺着 这整个这一段的这个思路往下，你就知道前面一节一节的来，然后你就知道到这一节的时候他讲的是什么意思了。
It's like if you only hear part of a conversation between two people, you don't know what they said before, and nor do you know what they say afterwards, and you may get a completely different idea of what they're talking about.
那这就像什么呢，就像你听两个人的谈话啊，你就听了其中的一段，然后你也不知道他们前面讲了什么，也不知道他们后面讲了什么，你就从中间抽出了这么一段呢，你就可能得出一个跟他们的意思完全不同的别的意思来。
For example, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4.
举个例子，我们翻到腓立比书的四章。
It's a well-known verse.And it's most often taken out of context.
这是一节很有名的经文呢，也常常就是被人误用，把它从上下文里摘出来用。
So Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13.
腓立比书的四章十三节。
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
我靠着那加给我力量的，凡事都能做。
If we were to take that one verse literally, it would mean we could jump over a building.
如果我们就从字面理解这句经文的话呢，那好像的意思说我从一个楼上跳下来也没事。
But that's not the context tells us it's something entirely different.
但是这不是上下文告诉我们的，从上下文读出来的是完全不同的意思。
The context, and let's read the context.From verses 10 to 19. And there we get the whole context.
那我们现在就来读一下这上下文。这上下文呢是从四章的十节到十九节。
What he's doing is talking about the Philippian church, how generous they were in contributing to Paul's ministry.
那这段这几节经文的大意呢，是指腓立比教会的信徒他们在帮助保罗的事工上是多么的慷慨。
So he says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now, not that I speak in regard to need.For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress.Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full.Having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
十节到十九节，我靠主大大的喜乐，因为你们思念我的心，如今又发生。你们向来就思念我，只是没得机会。我并不是因缺乏说这话。我无论在什么境况都可以知足，这是我已经学会了。我知道怎样处卑贱，也知道怎样处丰富，或饱足，或饥饿，或有余，或缺乏，随时随在，我都得了秘诀。我靠着那加给我力量的，凡事都能做。然而你们和我同受患难，原是美事。腓立比人呐，你们也知道我初传福音，离了马其顿的时候， 受受的事，除了你们以外，并没有别的教会供给我。就是我在帖塞罗尼迦，你们也一次两次的打发人供给我的需用。我并不求什么馈赠，所求的就是你们的果子渐渐增多，归在你们的账上。但我样样都有，并且有余，我已经充足，因为我从因我从以巴弗提受了你们的馈送，当作极美的香气，为神所收纳所喜悦的祭物。我的神必照他荣耀的丰富，在基督耶稣里使你们一切所需用的都充足。
Thank you. Now, this passage talks about Paul in his service for the Lord.
那这一段呢，讲的是保罗服侍主的事工。
And the Philippians in the past had helped supply the need that Paul had in his travels.
那么腓立比人呢，在过去保罗在旅行传道的途中所需要的，他们帮助了他，供应了他。
And he tells them in verse 10 that he was rejoicing that they were able to help him again. Although they had been hindered, because they could not, through circumstances, supply those needs.
所以十节里面他说，保罗说，因为你们思念我的心，如今又发生，就是曾经呢，他们帮助过他，然后后来呢，因为环境的阻碍呢，他们没有机会能够帮助保罗，现在又可以帮助保罗了，是这个意思。
But Paul wasn't complaining. He says that in verse 11 that I have learned whatever state I am in to be content.
但是保罗说这话呢，他并不是在抱怨，因为他在十一节里面说，他说他无论什么情况都可以知足，这是他已经学会了。
If the secret of this or the meaning of this is that Paul was in God's will.
那这句话什么意思呢？就是保罗呢是行在神的旨意当中。
And if he was in God's will, and God wanted him to experience hunger, then he would be content with that.
那如果保罗是行在主的旨意当中，那主的旨意就是要让他经历饥饿的话呢，那保罗也心甘情愿的愿意承受，他也知足。
Because we know that the Lord Jesus went hungry.
因为我们知道主耶稣基督也曾饱受饥饿。
And so, whether he is full or hungry, he's learned from God that if it's the will of God, not only is he content, but he can rejoice in that.
就是只要他是在神的旨意当中，无论他是饿着的还是吃饱的，他都满足，而且他以此为乐。
And so he says that I can do all those things through Christ who strengthens me.
所以他才说，我靠着那加给我力量的，凡事都能做。
That is, if he's in the will of God, then the Lord will strengthen him to bear either conflict or hunger or cold or loneliness, whatever it might experience in the work of God, Christ would strengthen him to bear it.
那也就是说，如果他在主的旨意行在主的旨意当中，他在服侍主的这个过程中所经历的，无论是饥饿，是困苦，是寒冷，是孤独，主都会加给他力量，让他能够满足，也让他能够以此为乐。
So we need to look at the context very carefully, rather than to take that right out of its context and misapply it, and then be disappointed that perhaps we feel that God had failed some, or we had failed God.
所以我们要很小心的读上下文呢，以免犯一个错误，就是把这经文从上下文中抽取出来，然后误用它。那这样的话呢，就会让我们如果这样误用，就会很失望。我们会觉得主辜负了我们，或者呢，我们失败了。
Now let's look at a different kind of example of context.
那我们再看另外一种情形下的例子。
1 Corinthians chapter 5.
哥林多前书的五章。
1 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 9 to 11.
9到11节.
Or just verse 11. We'll read verse 11. We don't need the word I'm looking for is in the context of a verse.
我们就读11节吧。
Verse 11, but now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person.
11节，但如今我写信给你们说，若有称为弟兄是行淫乱的，或贪婪的，或拜偶像的，或辱骂的，或醉酒的，或勒索的，这样的人不可与他相交，就是与他吃饭都不可。Now,
Christians are not to have any fellowship with someone who calls himself a Christian who practices any of these evil things.
那这些经文教导我们的基督徒呢，不能和自己口称自己是基督徒，但是同时呢，他又做这里面说的这些邪恶的事情的人相交。To
be sexually immoral, that is no adulterers are going to be in heaven.
那这里先看一个个来说行淫乱的，因为犯奸淫的是不能在天堂的。Idolaters
are people who worship idols.
还有就是贪婪的，还有拜偶像的。Drunkards
and extortioners.
醉酒的，辱骂的。But
notice, there's one word in there that seems to be out of place.
这里面有一个词呢，好像看上去跟其他都不一样。And
that word is covetous.
那就是贪婪的。
Covetousness is put in the same list as those very, very serious sins.
这贪婪呢，和这些其他看上去非常非常严重的这些罪行放在了一起。And
covetousness, it's a sin of the heart. It's a hidden sin.
贪婪呢，是心里的罪，它是一个隐藏的罪。It's
a sin that is easy to hide and we tend to think of it not as being as very serious.
因为贪婪这个罪是隐藏在里面的，所以我们倾向于认为它不是非常严重的罪。But
notice that it's there right in the middle of all these what we would call very open and very serious sins.
但是你看在这句经文，它就是这么样清清楚楚地列在所有的这些我们称为它 公开的严重的罪行中间的，它也是其中一个。What
is covetousness?
那到底什么是贪婪呢？
Well, the law says it's wanting something that belongs to somebody else.
那律法是说呢，如果你想要拥有属于别人的东西，一样东西，那就是贪婪了。Exodus
chapter 20, we read in the law.
出埃及记的20章，这里面我们读到律法上写的。
And verse 17.
17节。
You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's.
17节，不可贪恋人的房屋，也不可贪恋人的妻子、仆婢、牛驴，并他一切所有的。
It could be your neighbor's car.
那也可能是你邻居的车。
Or your neighbor's house.
邻居的房子。
It's covetousness is the kind of a hidden and secret sin. Nobody sees it.
所以贪婪的是一个隐藏的，藏起来的，看不见的罪， 没有人能够看见它。
And John in his letter, first letter, says covetousness is idolatry.
那约翰在约翰一书里面曾经说过, 贪婪就是拜偶像。
It's the worship of material things.
就是敬拜那些物质的东西。
And so, in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul brings before us the very serious sin of covetousness.
所以在林前五章十一节的这个上下文里面, 我们可以看到这个贪婪, 保罗在这里是把它看作非常严重的罪。
And so, John ends his first letter in 1 John chapter 5.
在约翰一书的最后结尾的时候, 约翰一书的五章,
He says, keep yourselves from idols.
他说,小子们啊, 21节, 你们要自守远避偶像。
And Paul reminds us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 that covetousness is idolatry.
然后保罗呢, 提醒我们在哥林多, 不是哥林多, 哥罗西书,
Colossians chapter 3 verse 5.
3章5节。
Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
哥林多书三章五节，所以要致死你们在地上的肢体，就如淫乱、污秽、邪情、恶欲和贪婪，贪婪就与拜偶像一样。
So the point that I'm making is, when you get a word in the context, it will tell you something of the meaning of that word.
所以我举这个例子的意思呢，是要告诉大家，我们把一个词啊，把它放在它的前后上下文里面，你就能够明白这个词的要告诉你的意思了。
So we've been focusing on the context of words right in a verse.
所以这个例子呢，讲的是一个词在一节经文当中的上下文。
Or a verse in a passage.
还也刚才在前面举的那个例子呢，是一节经文，在一段经文当中的上下文中的意思。
But we can take a passage now of scripture, a portion that is connected together, is a passage we might say, and there's a context that that passage has in the Bible.
这个单位是越来越大，现在我们举一个例子呢，就是一段话，这个一段话呢，它在圣经的上下文里面也有跟它前后相关的上下文。For
example, go to Mark chapter 5, or yes, 5, Mark chapter 5.
翻到马可的五章。
And verse
29 to 35. 34.
Verse 25, sorry, to 34. Verse
25
to verse
34. 25到34,
It's a story of a woman who had a hemorrhage. She was bleeding internally.
那这讲的是一个女人呢，她有这个血漏，就是内出血的这样的一个病症。
And we should read, we'll read this passage. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She'd spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.
马可的五章二十五到三十四节，有一个女人患了十二年的血漏，在好些医生手里受了许多的苦，又花尽了她所有的，一点也不见好，病势反倒更重了。他听见耶稣的事，就从后头来夹在众人中间，摸耶稣的衣裳，意思说，我只摸他的衣裳就必痊愈。于是他血漏的源头立刻干了，他便觉得身上的灾病好了。耶稣顿时觉得心里有能力从自己身上出去，就在众人中间转过来说，谁摸我的衣裳？门徒对他说，你看众人拥挤你，还说谁摸我吗？耶稣周围观看，要见做这事的女人。那女人知道在自己身上所成的事，就恐惧战惊，来俯伏在耶稣跟前，将实情全告诉他。耶稣对他说，女儿，你的信救了你，平平安安的回去吧，你的灾病痊愈了。
So here we see a whole passage, and we want to see how this passage relates to the scriptures that go before and go afterward.
所以你看我们刚才读的这个是一段话，不是一节经文，也不是一个词，是一段话。那我们可以看看这段话在它跟它前面的经文和它后面的经文有什么样的关系。
This is actually a story within a story.
或者说呢，它是故事里面套着的一个故事。
And what this does, it illuminates the context of these two stories. They support one another.
或者说呢，这个故事和别的故事呢，是彼此互相支持的。
What went before was that there was a man named Jairus. We read in verse 22.
在这之前呢，是先讲到了一个人呢，名叫雅鲁，在二十二节。
It says, and behold.One of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and he saw him, that is Jesus, and he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him.
我们读二十二。和到二十四节、啊、有一个管会堂的人名叫雅鲁来见耶稣，就俯伏在他脚前，再三的求他说，我的小女儿快要死了，求你去按手在她身上，使她痊愈得以活了。耶稣就和他同去，有许多人跟随拥挤他。
So here we get a little broader picture of the context.
所以我们在这里可以看到一个更广阔的视角的这个上下文的这个视角。
Jairus isDescribed as a ruler of the Jew, ruler of the synagogue.
那这里面把雅鲁呢，介绍了一下，他是管会堂的人。
And the rulers, he was a very important man in the community.
也就是说呢，他在当地这个社区里面是一个很重要的人物。
And he would be a representative of the religious authorities in the nation.
那他是等于是代表了这个国家的这个宗教领袖在这个社区里的这个领导地位的。
And these religious authorities, they had already denied Jesus' claims as the Messiah.
那这些从全国的这个宗教的这个权威的角度来说，他们是集体是拒绝了耶稣自称为弥赛亚这件事情的，他是拒绝了。
And they had already.Said that they would cast out of the synagogues anyone who believed in Jesus.
那他们甚至说呢，任何相信耶稣的人呢，就要把他们从会堂赶出去。
But his little daughter was very ill.
但是呢，他的这个小女儿呢，病得非常重。
She was at the point of death.
就几乎快死了。
Now we read in, later on in the passage that he had already hired professional mourners to come.
那我们在后面的经文可以看到，其实他那个时候他已经雇了那个专业的那个哭丧的那个人呢，来哭丧了，都已经准备好。
He had given up all hope.
那时候他已经完全绝望了。
But he heard about Jesus.
但是他听说过耶稣。Now
he knew what would happen if he went and asked Jesus to heal his daughter. He knew that his position as a ruler of synagogue and as an important person in the community, his reputation would be brought to shame.
所以其实他也知道，如果这个时候他去找耶稣的话，会有什么样结果？那他作为这个管会堂的这个当地领袖，这个地位呢，可就要丧失，他的这个重要的这个人物可能也没有了，然后他在当地的这个名声可能也会坏了。This
teacher from Galilee associated with tax collectors and prostitutes.
因为这个从加利利来的这个牧匠啊，他整天就是跟着税吏和妓女在一起的，他的名声不好。But
he comes to a critical point in his life. Is he going to ask Jesus to heal his daughter? Because he had heard the reports all through the countryside.
但是现在他的生命中到了一个关键的时刻，他还是决定去找耶稣基督，因为他听说过耶稣所行的一切神迹奇事。So
putting aside, thrusting aside his prejudice.
所以他把他的这个偏见呢撇到了一边，完全不管他了。He
comes and he falls down in public before the feet of the Savior.
而且他是在公众的面前呢，他俯伏在耶稣的脚前。And
he says, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live."
然后他说，我的小女儿快要死了，求你去按手在她的身上，使她痊愈得以活了。
The Lord Jesus doesn't say anything to the man.
那主耶稣对这个人男人没有说任何的话。
He could have healed her from a distance.
其实他不用去啊，在隔着很远的地方就可以医治他的女儿了。But
he didn't.
但是他没有这样做。You
see, there's a lesson that this man will learn and we will learn.
因为这个人要学一个教训，我们也要学一个功课。As
they go, in accordance with what the man asked, his faith said, "Come and lay your hands on her and she'll live." And the Lord went with him.
而且主的行动呢，是跟他这个信心的要求所匹配的，因为他是求主去他家，按手在他的身上，然后呢，主就照着这个话去了，就跟他走了。Now
this desperate man, I don't know if he was taking Jesus by the hand and pulling him, trying to make him walk faster or not, but there were big crowds around hindering their walk.
那我不知道这个绝望的人啊，他当时是不是拉住耶稣的手啊，拼命的拽他，希望他快点走。但是当时呢，他的确有很多人围着他，是拦阻了他们的这个脚步走不快。And
not only that, suddenly the Lord Jesus stops.
而且不仅走不快，而且突然呢，主耶稣还停下了。And
he said, "Who touched me?"
他说谁摸了我？
Now his disciples, he said, "Well, there's a huge crowd around here. How can you say who touched you? Everybody is touching."
然后他的门徒就很奇怪，就问主说：“你看这么多人挤着你，你还说谁摸我吗？因为每个人都在摸你啊。”Now,
if you were Jairus and I were Jairus, I think I would say, "Never mind about this. Let's go. My daughter's at the point of death."
因为如果你是雅鲁或者我是雅鲁的话，我那个时候肯定会说：“主啊，你别管这些了，你赶紧跟我走吧，我女儿都快死了。”
But he has a lesson for the woman as well as Jairus.
但是无论是对这个女人还是对这个雅鲁呢，他们都有主都要教他们一个功课。
And he His eyes search the crowd and they fix on that woman before she could get away.
然后主呢就在人群中去搜索，然后他的眼睛呢就盯住了这个妇人，在这个妇人还没来得及逃走之前呢，就盯就是看注目看他了。
And she comes to him and she confesses everything.
然后这个女人就到主的面前，就把一切的事情都告诉他了。
She told him the whole truth, she says.
这经文是说将实情全告诉他，就把一切的事实都讲出来了。
Now, why did he stop? She was healed. Isn't that what Jesus wanted to do, is to heal people, make them well?
那主耶稣为什么一定要停下来呢？他已经医治了这个女人啊，难道主的目的不就是使这有病的人得医治就行了吗？
Now, if that woman had gone away healed, she would have been very happy.
而且这个女人如果当时就得了医治也走了的话，她也会非常高兴的。
But her faith would have been anchored in a superstition.
但是她的这个叫什么？她的信心会锚在这个迷信上面。
You see, the healing that she received, she had to know it was not an impersonal power. It wasn't the garment. It wasn't some.Power from the earth or from somewhere else. It came from the Lord Jesus himself.
因为这个女人需要知道啊，医治她的这个能力不是从这个物质的东西来的，不是从主耶稣基督的那个衣服的穗子，也不是从她摸的那块地来的，而是从主耶稣基督这个人直接来的。
See, it could seem like it was a stolen cure.And could lead to a superstitious belief.
因为如果一个只是简单的一个医治这件事呢，会把人带到迷信的这个方向去的。
He wanted her faith to be anchored in him, not in it, the garment.
所以主希望这个妇人的信心啊，是锚在主耶稣基督自己身上，而不是锚在他的这个衣服穗子上面。
And so what he says to her daughter.It's your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.
所以34节主耶稣对他说，女儿，你的信救了你，平平安的回去吧，你的灾病痊愈了。
Meanwhile, Jairus is probably jumping up and down.
那同时呢，在这个过程当中，这个雅鲁可能上下都在跳脚。
Desperate for him to come.
特别绝望的希望他赶紧去啊。
Because something worse is going to happen.
因为有更坏的事情将要发生了。
Verse 35, while he was speaking to the woman, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the teacher anymore.
因为我们看35节这个耶稣还跟着女人说话的时候呢，有人从管会堂的家里来说，你的女儿死了，何必还劳动先生呢？
And now it's recorded the Lord's first words to Jairus.
然后接下来这节经文呢是主记录下来的主对雅鲁说的第一句话。
In verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid.Only believe.
36节耶稣听见所说的话，就对管会堂的说，不要怕，只要信。
In other words, Jairus, have no faith, have no fear, but have faith in me.
所以换句话说，主耶稣就是告诉雅鲁说，你心里不要有惧怕，而是要对我有信心。
And so we can see these two stories, what they do is they support one another, and the context of one is tied to the other.
所以我们看啊，这两个故事是故事套故事的，就是他们彼此支持，而且每个就是这两个故事是彼此连接的。
And so that with Jairus, his faith needed to be strengthened.
对于雅鲁来说呢，他的信心需要被主坚固。
If the Lord Jesus had gone directly or had healed his daughter from a distance, that would be good. But he was going to perform an even greater miracle. He was going to raise the little girl from the death.
那当然主也可以就是不去他们家，远远的就让他的女儿得医治了。这当然也很好，但是呢主要行一个更大的神迹，就是使他的女儿从死里复活。
And the prejudice that Jairus had before was going to be completely removed by a solid faith.
而且呢借着这个坚定的信心啊，雅鲁他原先对耶稣的这个偏见会一扫而空。
When they walked into the room where the body of that young girl lay, you could see that she was dead.
当他们一起走进那个雅鲁的女儿所躺的那个房子的时候，你可以看见他的女儿其实已经死了。
No doubt her skin was cold.
毫无疑问他的这个皮肤已经开始变冷了。
No life whatsoever.
没有生命的迹象了。
The Lord Jesus says, Little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately, no, it was no slow awakening. Immediately she rose up.
我们看41节和42节，当主对这个姑娘说，闺女，我吩咐你起来。42节，那闺女立刻起来走，就是完全没有耽搁，马上就复活了。
There was no time needed for recovery. She walked.
甚至没有时间让她慢慢的康复，她一下就起来就可以走了。
And so the faith of Jairus would strip away all his previous prejudice.
所以在这个时候雅鲁对主建立的那个信心啊，会把他原来对主的那个偏见完全的清除掉。
And so you can see that the one story in the context of the other, broadens the meaning, the whole meaning of the passages.
所以我们看到这个故事在另外一个故事的这个背景下，它的这个故事套故事这个上下文里，或可以使这个故事的意义扩展。
Now the writers of the Gospels, they did this over and over and over again.
那福音书的作者呢反复的多次的使用过这个手法。
John said that if all the books in the world were written, you wouldn't be able to, if everything has been recorded, that Jesus did, the world wouldn't be able to hold the books.
因为约翰在约翰福音曾说过，如果耶稣所做的事情每一样都写下来的话，整个世界都装不下。
And so the writers of the Gospels in particular,they have chosen the stories as to be seen in the context of what went before and what comes after.
所以在福音书的作者里面作者他所挑的这些故事，挑选这些故事都是要放在这个上下文里面去看的，就是要联系他前面的经文和后面的经文。
So, that's a context of passages, how they fit together. We've looked at the immediate context in verses, and we looked at now just the passages, the context. Another look at scripture context is topics, a topical context.
你看我们前面已经举了三个例子了，一个是一节经文在一段话的上下文的例子，还有一个是一个词在一节经文的这个上下文当中的例子，还有一个呢就是一段话在前后好几段话的这个故事当中的这个意思。那现在我们再来看就是这个主题式的这个上下文。
So, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
我们看哥林多前书的十三章。
1 Corinthians chapter 13, often people read it as though it's an isolated exposition of what love is.
通常人们把这个哥林多前书十三章呢当成一个独立的篇章去来解释什么是爱。
And they use it as a definition of love, or it's like a love song or something.
人们会把这段经文使用作为一个爱的叫什么颂章啊，或者是爱的定义这样来用。
But chapter 13 is a chapter within a context.
但是哥林多前书的十三章啊，是在上下文当中的一段话。
And the whole of Corinthians is the Apostle Paul's correction of false doctrine, false teaching, a number of different topics Paul addresses, and to correct the wrong thinking and wrong deeds of the Corinthians.
那哥林多前后书呢，都是保罗写给哥林多教会，用来纠正一些错误的教义、假的教义，还有包括他们哥林多教会的一些错误的思想和错误的做法的。
He starts out, of course, attacking their disunity, how that they were not unified.
他一开始呢就提到他们之间的不合一，有纷争。
In chapter 5, he talks that there's fornication in the assembly. They're allowing a man practicing fornication in the assembly.
然后第五章呢，就讲他们是许可一个人犯了这个奸淫罪的人留在教会里面的错误。
In chapter 7, He talks about relationships, a husband and relationship, and divorce and remarriage.
然后第七章呢，他就讲了这个婚姻啊，夫妻家庭这样的关系，就是丈夫妻子关系，还有包括离婚等等的话题。
In chapter 11, he addresses headship, which they were denying.
然后第十一章呢，他讲的是权柄顺序，哥林多教会的人是否认这个权柄顺序的。
And then in chapter 11 as well, he addresses the fact that there was abuse, there was bad conduct at the Lord's Supper.
然后还是哥林多前书十一章，还提到他们哥林多教会领主的圣餐的时候有各种的混乱的做法。
So these are various topics. And then he addresses and he sets right. These are various topics up to this point in the scripture, or in 1 Corinthians.And he's correcting their bad doctrine and bad practices.
然后到这里为止呢，就是保罗把这个哥林多教会所有的错误的教义、错误的思想、错误的做法都指出来了。
And then in chapters 12, 13, and 14, he addresses the fact that they were misusing the gifts that had been given, the spiritual gifts.
然后从十二章、十三章和十四章开始呢，他开始一个新的话题，就是他们错误的应用了属灵恩赐。
Chapter 12, he talks about where the gifts come from and what their use should be for.
然后哥林多前书的十二章讲的是什么是属灵恩赐，他们是应该怎么使用，从哪里来的，从该怎么使用。
That we're all given a gift.And the gift is meant for edification of others.
我们每个人都有属灵恩赐，属灵恩赐的目的呢，是为了造就别人的，使别人受益的。
And he says in verse 27 of chapter 12.
我们看哥林多前书十二章的二十七节。
Now you are the body of Christ, he says, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church first.Apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? but earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet, I'm going to show you a more excellent way.
我们从27节开始读啊，你们就是基督的身子，并且各自做肢体，神在教会所设立的，第一是使徒，第二是先知，第三是教师，其次是行异能的，再次是得恩赐医病的，帮助人的，治理事的，说方言的，岂都是使徒吗？岂都是先知吗？岂都是教师吗？岂都是行异能的吗？岂都是得恩赐医病的吗？岂都是说方言的吗？岂都是翻方言的吗？你们要切切地求那更大的恩赐，我现今把最妙的道指示你们。
So he's telling them that they are one body, that they've got gifts, and they are to administer them to one another. But he says that the introduction to chapter 13, which is often taken out of context, we get the introduction to chapter 13 in verse 31 of chapter 12.
所以在这一段讲的就是基督教会是一个身体，然后这个身体上面有各种恩赐都用来服侍别人的等等。然后到31节的时候呢，我们常常忽视这个作为13章的一个连接的这个起头的影子，那就是31节，你们要切切地求那更大的恩赐，我现今把最妙的道指示你们。
He says earnestly desire those best gifts, butThe way that they need to be administered, I will show you the best way, the most excellent way, he calls it.
所以他把这个叫做最妙的道啊，要指示给你们。
And then he tells them, if I don't have love, if I'm not administering those gifts in love, I'm just like a tinkling cymbal.
他就说如果我没有爱的话，我就像了那个明德罗响的钹一样。
And then he goes on to compare, said, without love, those gifts will benefit no one.
所以他在继续讲这样的对比，就是如果没有爱的话，这些恩赐啊，对任何人都没有益处。
And so in the context there, the...Chapter 13 has to be seen as the way that the gifts should be administered in order to get a full reward and full blessing for the people of God.
所以呢，从上下文理解的看呢，这十三章这一段呢，关于爱的这一段呢，应该理解为怎么来最好的使用这个属灵恩赐，是这个恩赐能够最大程度的去造福教会的彼此的弟兄姐妹，从这个角度来看的。
In chapter 14 is further instructions, but he begins that chapter by saying, pursue love. That is the utmost.
所以14章当然会继续讲更多的关于这方面的教导，但是他从13章呢就做了一个很好的开始，说你们要去切切的求那最妙的道，就是爱。
So there's a topic, the book of Corinthians has a number of topics, and you could look into each of those topics to find the contextAnd then you would be able to fit the individual verses into the context to get a correct interpretation.
所以这就是用这个主题话题式的这个上下文来研读经文的一个方法，就是哥林多前书有很多的话题，很多的主题，所以当你去看一节经文的时候，你要把这个经文放在这个话题的这个大的上下文的背景中去理解这个经文。
So when you read the scriptures, it's good to see where each individual verse fits into the passage, where each passage fits into other passages and other topics.Or larger passages, where everything fits into these various passages. Keep those in mind as you read the scriptures.
所以当我们读经的时候呢，我们要脑子里始终要记得，当你读一节经文的时候，你要记得这个 这个经文在这个上下文是一个什么位置，就是把它放回到这一段的上下文中去理解。然后你读一段的时候呢，要把它放到前后好多段中去理解，然后好多段的一个篇章呢，要放在一个大的主题，一个大的话题的这个上下文中去理解。
And we've been going from verse to passage to bigger passages. Now we're going to look at the context of a book itself.
你看，我们已经从一个词扩展到了一节经文，再从一节经文扩展到了一段话，再从一段话呢扩展到了一个主题。现在我们来看一卷书，一整卷书它在这个圣经里面的这个上下文的背景中的地位。
When we're trying to understand the whole book, we need to take a look at some key verses that might tell us what the main meaning of that book might be.
当我们研读一卷书的时候呢，我们需要把握住几个关键词，这个几个关键词可以告诉我们这卷书的主要的主旨是什么。
For example,The book of Hebrews.
举个例子，比如说希伯来书。
We're not going to look in anything in any detail or verses in Hebrews. But when you read the book of Hebrews will mean more, a lot more to you when you remember that that Hebrews is dealing with Christ's.Superiority over Israel's religion.
所以我们今天不会继续查考这个希伯来书里面具体的经文呢。我只是要告诉大家，当你读希伯来书的时候，你脑子要一个概念，就是希伯来书讲的就是耶稣基督比希伯来人的宗教要高得多。
Because in the book of Hebrews, Christ is compared to these various.Portions of the Old Testament, and he's a better priesthood, a better covenant, a better sacrifice, and so on.
所以当我们读希伯来书，我们就发现在这本书里面就把耶稣基督和旧约的很多东西来比较，然后比较了以后，结果就告诉我们，耶稣基督是一个更好的大祭司，他是更美的一个祭物，他是更美的约，都是更好的。
So, let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes for our example.
我们再用来举例，我们用这个传道书来举例。
Where does the book of Ecclesiastes fit in the context of the Bible?
那传道书作为整个一卷书，它在这个是怎么样切入到这个整本圣经的这个上下文里面的呢？
We know that the book of Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon.
我们知道传道书是所罗门写的。
And in the introduction of verses 1 and 2, we read that it was the son of David, king in Jerusalem. And of course, most people believe that that's Solomon.
我们看这个传道书的一章一节，他说在耶路撒冷作王大卫的儿子传道者的言语，绝大部分人呢都认为这里说的就是所罗门。
So right in the beginning now, the introduction, we have the heading, the first two verses, but then we have this verse 3, there's a question.
那前面这个一二节呢是开了个头，然后做了个介绍，然后看第三节呢就提出了一个问题。
And it introduces the topic of the whole book.
然后这个问题呢又引出了整个这卷书的一个主题。
What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun?
这个问题就是人一切的劳碌，就是他在日光之下的劳碌有什么益处呢？
And so that phrase, under the sun, we read it in verse 9, for example.
我们看这个日光之下这个短语啊，它在很多地方出现，比如说一章的九节又提到日光之下。
That which has been, that which has been is what will be, that which is done is what will be done, and there's nothing new under the sun.
第九节，已有的事后必再有，已行的事后必再行，日光之下并无新事。
Again, we read it in verse 14.
那我们再看一章的十四节。
As a matter of fact, in the book of Ecclesiastes, that phrase under the sun occurs 29 times.
其实在整个传道书里面，日光之下这个短语啊，重复了29次。
And so, when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll see this reoccurring phrase, which will tell you what the meaning of that book is.
所以你看在传道书里反复的出现的这个短语日光之下，其实它就告诉你了传道书到底讲的是什么。
Now the phrase under the sun means what is under in this world, what we see in this world.
那日光之下的意思就是我们在这个世界，在今生这个世界能看到什么。
The world, we spend our lives, we live maybe 70 or 80 or maybe even 90 years or 100 years, but still it's 100 revolutions of the earth around the sun. And what is our purpose eternally?
所以即使我们在这地上活70岁80岁甚至100岁也好，但都还是在这个世界这个阳光之下这个日光之下的事，那我们的活着的意义到底是什么呢？永恒的意义是什么呢？
Solomon had the resources to explore everything under the sun.
那所罗门呢，他拥有这个这样的资源呢，它可以在日光之下的各个领域去探索。
Under the sun meaning not in heaven, but on the earth. All the pleasures, all the riches, all the works that man can do to satisfy himself in this world.
那日光之下的意思就是不是在天堂的，而是在地上的。那凡是在地上的所有的地上的快乐，地上的财富，地上人所能做的一切的功，他都去尝试过了。
And so he had the ability and the resources to explore all those things.
所罗门有这样的能力，他有这样的资源，他把这些事一一都尝试了一遍。
But he found that all is vanity.
然后最后他发现一切都是虚空。
50 or 60 years or 70 or 80 or 90 or even 100 years. And it's all vain.
所以不管你是50年、60年、70年、80年还是90年、100年，全部都是虚空。
To find meaning or purpose in this life is useless, he says.
他说今生的这个意义也好，目的也好，其实都是无用的，都是虚空的。
The greatest monuments that we could build, the greatest symphonies we might write, or the greatest poems that we might write, the castles that we could build, they're all for nothing.
那不管是地上你建的最伟大的纪念碑，你写的最伟大的交响乐，你写的最伟大的诗歌，你造的最伟大的城堡，其实都是没有什么用的。
His answer was, it's all in vain.
所以所罗门对此的答案就是一切都是虚空。
And so, where does Ecclesiastes then fit in the Bible?
那么传道书在这个全本圣经中它的这个位置是什么呢？
Well, it just tells us that very simple truth, that there's no good.
那它就是告诉我们这样一个道理，就是日光之下所有的
satisfaction.
Eric, you are frozen a little bit. Could you repeat the sentence again?
Yes. What Ecclesiastes teaches us, and where it fits in the Bible, is that Solomon had the opportunity to explore everything and find out and tell us that the only hope that there is, the only purpose, is a heavenly hope and a man come down from heaven.
Transcription:
And so, what good then becomes the greatest education or the greatest monument that could be built, or to become president or king or emperor? It's all vanity.
那就是你成为最伟大的王、最伟大的总统、受过最好的教育、能建最好的纪念碑，又怎么样呢？ 这些都是虚空。
And so how does he end his book?
你看他最后这个书是怎么结尾的呢？
He says in verse 13 of chapter 12.
我们看看那个12章的13节。
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil.
13、14节，这些事都已听见了，总意就是敬畏神。 谨守他的诫命，这是人所当尽的本分。因为人所做的事，连一切隐藏的事，无论是善是恶，神都必审问。
There are other books in the Bible that take us right into the very heavenlies.
那圣经还有的书呢，是直接把我们带到天上去的。
But this is a book that keeps us on the earthlies, and it says it is absolutely useless. So the context is very, very important.
但这本书呢，是让我们始终，它讲的始终都是地上的所有的事，但它最后的结论就是这一切都是虚空，所以上下文是非常重要的。Now,
there's a wider context. If you take a verse, how does that verse fit into all the rest of the Bible?
那还有一个更 广阔意义上的上下文，就是如果你拿出一节经文来，这一节经文放到整个圣经的这个全书当中，它又是一个什么样的位置呢？
That's a so the Bible never contradicts itself.
因为圣经从来不会自我矛盾的。
I go lastly, we want to look at very briefly at historical context.
所以最后啊，我非常简要给大家讲一下这个历史上下文、历史背景。
As you read the Word of God, you might be reading a prophet, but what other events were taking place during the time that the prophet wrote, for example?
比如说你可能在圣经中读了一段预言，那你要问一下这个预言写作的这段时间，是历史上还发生过什么事情呢？
Well, that's very difficult at most of the time.
那通常呢，我们要找到这个答案是很困难的。But
if you pay close attention, sometimes there are little clues that help us to understand the historical context of events in the Bible.
但有的时候，如果我们仔细读的话，圣经会给我们一些线索，让我们知道这个事件发生的时候的历史背景。
For example, turn please to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1.
举个例子，我们看以赛亚书的1章1节。
Isaiah 1 and verse 1. And Isaiah tells us that how long his ministry was as a prophet in Israel.
嗯，那以赛亚书的一章一节告诉我们，他在以色列做做这个先知有跨度是多长时间
？His prophetic ministry covered four different kings.
嗯，那他做先知呢，这个时间是跨越了就是横跨了四个王做王的时候。
The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw.Concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah.
嗯，当乌西亚、约坦、亚哈斯、西西家做犹大王的时候，亚摩斯的儿子以赛亚德默示论到犹大和耶路撒冷。
Now, you can turn to the kings or chronicles of the kings, and Second Chronicles chapter 26 to 32. We won't turn there, but just you could make a note that the events that are recorded in the Chronicles took place at the same time that Isaiah was a prophet in Judah.
嗯，今天我们不会具体查，大家可以做个笔记记一下，就是在历代志下的26到32章，这里面记载的这些历史中发生的事情啊，都是在以赛亚做先知的时候发生的。
So the point there is that verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 1 gives us context, historical context. And so you might.As you read the book of Isaiah, you will come across some of those kings' names in the prophecy itself.
嗯，所以这个以赛亚书的一章一节就告诉我们这个以赛亚书的这个历史背景。所以当我们这个读以赛亚书呢，我们会常常碰到这些王的名字。
For example, in Isaiah chapter 6.And verse 1, we read that it was in the year that King Uzziah died.
嗯，举个例子，比如说以赛亚书的六章一节，这里面讲的就是乌西亚王崩的那一年。
And that's when Isaiah was called to be a prophet in Israel.
嗯，就是在这个时候，以赛亚被神呼召做以色列的王的，做以色列的先知的。
So these are the idea of context, keeping in mind verses that went before, that come afterwards.
所以这就是我今天讲的这个上下文。所以当你读经的时候，你要留意它前面的经文是什么，后面的经文是什么。
How passages relate to passages that went before and stories that come after?
嗯，然后一段经文，你要看它和前面的一段、后面的一段，还有故事之间的联系是什么。
So as we read the Word of God, it's good to keep in mind the context and not pull verses or passages out of the context to try to force a meaning that does not exist.
嗯，所以当我们读经的时候，脑子里一定要有这个概念，就是要有这个上下文的这个概念，就是把这个经文放到上下文里去理解，而不是强行的把这个经文从上下文中抽离出来，然后强加给它一个意思，其实它本来没有这个意思。
Just like Satan using verses out of their context, quoting scripture, so all bad doctrine.Is usually taking some scriptures out of their context and not allowing the full Bible to be able to moderate the meanings.
嗯，就像魔鬼当时试探主的时候，他是抽出了一段经文，把它抽离开。上下文来用来试探主一样，那所有的错误的不好的教义也都是一样的，它让我们的注意力关注到某一个经文上，而且这个经文是脱离开上下文的，它就让我们没有办法 得到整个圣经对我们的这个指导，就是你不会再去看其他的圣经的意思了。
Thank you. Now, Brother Harold, I'll ask you to, if you would just close us off tonight. Thank you.
嗯，好，我们现在请 Harold 长老给我们做个总结和祷告。
Thank you very much. That's very good. Just maybe a word of encouragement for you.
嗯，今天讲的非常好啊，也很感谢。我想在最后说一句鼓励大家的话。
I don't always remember all the contexts that I should.
嗯，那我不是每一次都能够记得上下文的这件事情的。
And when I was younger, that used to frustrate me a lot.
嗯，当我年轻的时候呢，这个很让我很沮丧。
I would say I read a passage and I don't really realize how it's related to the page ahead or the page back, how it's related to the book as a whole. I found getting the context clearly in my head was difficult.
嗯，那当我年轻的时候的读经的时候，我常常不会清楚的知道这一句经文跟上下的这个经文的联系是什么，跟这一段和前后的这个经文的这个上下文的背景是什么。就对我那时候对我来说，清楚的知道这句经文的上下文是一件很困难的事情。
And so I address this problem in two ways.
嗯，我这样用两个方式来讲这个问题啊。
The first was I learned to rejoice in what I understood rather than be frustrated by what I didn't. Excuse me, what I didn't understand.
嗯，第一个呢，就是我能读到的东西呢，我以此为喜乐，然后我也不用为我还没有明白的事情感到沮丧。
And the Bible is written in such a way that the more we understand, the more it fits all together, and we can rejoice at a greater truth.
嗯，那圣经是这样一本书，它这写的这个方式就让我们，当我们读的越懂的读的越多的时候呢，我们就能够更多的把好多东西联系在一起，也能够更从更广的这个角度呢去享受这个圣经。
As you're seeking to rejoice in greater truth and greater knowledge, do rejoice in what you do understand and say, Hallelujah, Lord, I want to live that.
嗯，所以你要想在更广阔的、更大的一个范围去享受以圣经为乐的话，那你就现在就开始以主已经给你的这些东西呢，你感到快乐，你去享受它。
And the second thing is keep reading. Read it and read it again and read it again and read it again.
那第二点呢，就是你要不停的读，你读了一遍又一遍又一遍。
So one more story before we finish off tonight.
嗯，今天晚结束之前呢，我再给大家讲一个故事。
And I don't know the details of the story, certainly don't know the people involved, but I believe it happened.
嗯，那我不太记得这个事情具体涉及的这个人是谁，我有点忘记了，但是我知道这个的确是真实发生的一件事。
There was a man who went to a preacher on one occasion and said to him, you know, when I read my Bible, I don't get anything out of it.
嗯，那有一个人呢，就找到一个牧师去跟他说，他说我读圣经的时候，我什么东西也读不出来。
And the very wise preacher said to him, well, here is an assignment for you then.
嗯，然后这个很智慧的这个牧师呢，就跟他说，那我今天现在给你留一个作业。
He said, I want you to read the book of 1 Peter, which is 5 chapters. I want you to read that every day for a month.
哦，然后说，那我现在给你一个作业呢，就是彼得前书一共五章，你每天都读彼得前书读一个月。
And so he did that. He read it and then he reread it. Every day he read 1 Peter for a month.
嗯，所以他真的这样做了，他就每天都读一遍彼得前书，读了一个月。
His wife used to ask him how his Bible study was coming at mealtime.
通常呢，他在吃饭的时候呢，太太都会问他，你今天这个圣经学习学的怎么样？
And she said at the beginning of the month, it was a bit of a struggle.
那这个月刚开始的时候呢，他跟他太太说，哎呀，这个挺难的，挺挣扎的。
And then she says as the month went on, he started telling her all about the truth in 1 Peter.
但随着时间的推移呢，到这个月来往后的时候呢，他已经开始可以给他太太讲这个彼得前书里的真理了。
And at the end of the month, the wife went to the preacher and said to him, could you please tell my husband to read something else?All I ever hear is 1 Peter, 1 Peter, 1 Peter, 1 Peter.
然后等到月末的时候呢，这个太太就找到牧师说，你能不能给我先生布置个功课，让他读点别的，因为我这一个月都在听他讲彼得前书，彼得前书，彼得前书。
Okay, be patient with yourself, and you'll get full of the word of God too, and you won't be able to contain it.
所以大家对自己耐心一点啊，你永远不会读圣经读够的，你总是能够读出更多的东西。
All right, let's have a word of prayer.
好，我们现在一起祷告。
Lord, we want to thank you for the word of God.
主，我们要为神的话感谢你。
It is the word that feeds us. It is the word that thrills us. It's the word that teaches us.It's the word that warns us.
这话呢，喂养我们，也鼓励我们，也教导我们，也磨造我们，改变我们。
Lord, we pray that we'll just keep on reading and keep on reading, and we pray the Spirit of God will keep on teaching. That's what's important.
主，我们祈求就是让我们能够持续的读，持续的读，然后圣灵持续的教导我们，这是最重要的。
And so we give you thanks for your word and for the Spirit who teaches us and for Eric and others who teach us. We thank you for it all, Lord.
我们感谢，为您的话感谢您，为圣灵教导我们感谢您，为 Eric 和其他的弟兄教导我们，给我们的教导也感谢您。
And we give thanks now in Jesus' name.
我们这样的感恩是奉耶稣的名。
Amen.
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 Lord, bless us all.